Thanks, Joan. It's nice to be here for Hemingway's the 50th anniversary season. Congratulations to you. I love this spot. Now I have to take my glasses off. I can't see a fucking thing anymore. It's just how it is. All right. I got a book called A History of Backroads Misplaced, Selected Poems 2010 to 2020. That's where we're going to start. This is a bit of a journey all the way through. This is a poem called A Palomino and a Bull Snake. There were four water towers on the Salina skyline, more than 10 rooms with private bath in the place where I stayed. I lived the last couple days on gin and tequila. There's been no need to hit the brakes over the last 80 miles. It feels like I'm barnstorming a prairie fire. The longest train I ever saw was in Amarillo. That was before today, although it may have been Sheridan. Amarillo is 400 miles south. Sheridan is a Palomino and a bull snake away. In the distance, there's a storm stuck over Topeka. I've seen so much big sky and empty plains, it makes me want to swing north for the Badlands. I could make Rapid City by morning. Yesterday, I learned that Mexican buffet is the two most perfect words in the English language. And as I left, I noticed the only graffiti on the men's room wall, my asshole is burning. Except the S's were faint. They had been corralled to some Baptist ranch in the sky where profanity is still the devil's tongue. Yesterday, I learned how to turn breadcrumbs into bluebirds. If I head north and gun it to Nebraska, I'm going to try my luck turning motels into buffalo.
Thank you.
American Aorta is my newest book of poetry, and this is a poem for the late Kansas poet Diane Watteau, Time Went the Way of the Buffalo. I know Wichita from a gas station overlooking the interstate. A jaw-dropping sunrise over the Flint Hills, I pulled my hoodie up against October. With 800 miles ahead, one last gasp of Wichita before wagons west. It's sad we never met. We should have had breakfast, but time went the way of the buffalo. I would have loved to hear in person your story of marching 5 miles in Kalamazoo. You and your friend against the Vietnam War. You and your friend all dressed up in high heels. If you buy American Aorta, I do still have a couple copies of this Blackout Elvis Death Psalms. It's 8 erasure poems that I used the Nashville, Tennessee, an article from the day after Elvis's death to fashion. So, does that make sense? Hopefully it does. 8 haikus fashioned from a news article about Elvis. There we go. Rhythm and blues shook the hammer. It's your turn. Thank you. I have a new book coming out with Rebecca Schmeda. It's my photography, her words. 2022, I was at SCI Crescent, which was then doing self-guided tours, took a bunch of photos looking specifically for something for her then new book, Sentenced, which came out on New York Quarterly. We did find that book cover, but a couple weeks later, I started getting poems. Those poems became a book called Hope is a Prison, which is a meditation between women and cycles of abuse, I guess is probably the easiest way to place it. So this poem is called Last Rites. It was inspired by a photo that I took of a Bible sitting on a rostrum in an abandoned prison chapel. The last time I heard my father's voice was when my grandmother was transitioning in hospice. We were gathered around her bed saying our goodbyes when her son called collect from prison to encourage her to ask for the Lord's forgiveness. While death rattled in her throat, I looked out the window, a stray cat battered around a bluebird. My grandmother dismissed religion long before I was born, but kept a crucifix in her nightstand drawer. She had a stray cat husband who held my father like a feather between his teeth. She looked out the same window, then at me as my father yammered on about redemption. Or maybe she didn't look out the window. Maybe I just wanted her to. The last time she spoke directly to me was the day before her son was sentenced. Just tell the truth. that he didn't really hurt you, she begged. Just tell the truth. All right. Hemingway's is 50 years old.
Oh, I'm losing shit. Where did that shit go?
What was that shit?
That's important shit. I might need to read that shit.
Oh, I just read that shit. Well, it's not that important then.
All right. Yeah.
Hemingway's is 50 years old. January, I was watching, was the fighter that Jimmy was in as a training coach or a boxing trainer? Anyway, I saw Jimmy. It sparked some things. Seems appropriate to read tonight. This is called In Dog Years. Can I do this? Okay. I saw Jimmy Svedek caught a shard of that voice. He was a ringside coach in a strip club parking lot mixed martial arts fight in a movie that's over a decade old, his face still full and flush before the cancer whittled him. And I thought about a Silsby poem where he talks about a saved voicemail. Jimmy rasps that he was not blowing smoke up anyone's ass. And I thought how lucky I was over the years to be in a bar full of poets, listening to Jimmy read the title, maybe the first line of a poem, before launching off into another meandering story told in dog years. Nick Nolte was in this movie too, a gruff voice, grizzled old trainer too, maybe a tribute to his good friend. I signed a book for Nolte at the end of one of those readings. Not sure what to write, I could and probably should have said something simple, like thank you. But being a little worse for drink, I may have said something like, my mother has a crush on you. All right. So, as Joan mentioned, I do the odd month reading series with Scott Silsby and Don Wentworth, two handsome gentlemen over there. We are having a reading Saturday night at Bantha Tea Bar, Akron, Ohio poets, Steve Brightman and Teresa Gottlieb Brightman, as well as Rick St. John, will all be reading. It's free, but there will be a tip jar for the artists. There is also, not to get too many things in your head, an even month, a rare even month on August 1st. Three Indiana poets, Tony Brewer, Nicole Brooke Plummer, and Johnny Baker are coming, and they will be joined by Miss Macross. So that's Thursday. August 1st. Both events will start at 7 p.m. and start promptly on time. I know that's an oxymoron. I need another drink of beer. All right, this is called Hard Time Eyes. Three Confederate skeletons molder through a dogwood night. Second Avenue lights shine from downtown Oasis, past where motels go to pasture and green corn begins its rise. Three Confederate skeletons, gray hair growing down the back of Kiss tees, baggy jeans painted with Ohio River mud. They double time it back to camp, past the Cadillac Motel and halfway house. Mutton warms on the fire, graybacks burning a hole in their pockets. Old Jeff Davis's eyes wide after a taste. Sure thing, the South will rise again. Three Confederate skeletons pass. The woman at the liquor store stashes moonshine pints as Victor, announced by doorbell, asks for a bottle of wine. She looks at him with hard time eyes. Honey, I don't know a goddamn thing about no wine. Thank you. All right. This is called A People's History of Williamson, West Virginia. I have all of it. Yes, I do. Okay. Is it sticking together? There we go. Now we're good. Don't blow away. You said there wasn't a breeze, Nikki. All right. People's History of Williamson, West Virginia. We could have gone to the prom with the Cole House girls. Crushed red velvet dresses, Keller drawn richer in humidity. They wait for dreams and corsages to die just like Romeo and Juliet. Instead, we hold up in a burned-out department store, rechristened junk shop, sifting boxes of 10-cent black-and-white photos, watching A People's History of Williamson, West Virginia, as a remaindered flipbook. Camera flash illuminates, moment heads crane above the surface a new used car sitting in pea gravel under a pawpaw, the sun shining off the canal as she sat neatly on a picnic bench, smoking uncles, messy rubber-legged toddlers, beehived ants, got Halloween witches, coal black-faced miners carrying lunches and gunny sacks. Not one graduation in sight. No one ever actually smiling. Only distance read in eyes focused on the ledge of another mountain range. These boxes, never rescued, sepia, acid-stained, or rusted pipe-washed, 8 lanes of train tracks that led out of town, now left to oxidize, burnt Sienna memories, Keller-faded ghosts, haunt paper alone. Three more for you. Thank you for being an attentive audience. And it's going to be more dynamite after me. John Dorsey, Scott Silsby, Leslie Ann McElroy. It'll be awesome. All right, this is called a Howard Johnson prayer. Nothing has a right being this beautiful. In the mighty exhale of crossing the heartland again, the chill that saturates post-Labor Day, the sun already a victim, but there are no stars in this fenced pool parking lot watering hole with logos looming, billboards crowing, and traffic blowing past headlights through honeycomb in the interstate close enough to hear it whinny at the horizon. Another outlaw moment, flat earth and floodplain, 250 miles and 25 milligrams waiting on corn stalks to colonize these temples. Cold blue water steals as it reinforces this essence. I float on dreams that stretch middle Mississippi to Machu Picchu. I float a black and white dream. Memories of a dark sky, meditation. All right, this next is a short haiku, another oxymoron, for Bart Sularchek, who just passed away. Rip Bart. It's a long journey, brother. Wind blown between beers. Crows guide the way. Thank you, thank you. Last poem, Ode to Miles Davis's He Loved Him Madly, just from his 1974 record, Get Up With It. Spend 35 minutes with yourself. Enjoy it. Ode to Miles Davis's He Loved Him Madly. These mornings pass in poses, 30 seconds at a time, pacing breath on a snare hit, try and unwind 47 years of what capitalism wrought. Oregon rising winds into construction crews milling pavement, house shakes, its open windows accept what little chatter comes from the sparrow wall, accepts the lost voice of another working man, just another day in paradise. The cat steals heating pad, tries to unwind 90 years. Now listen as guitar razors out a riff only to pull back on the wall before meeting a trumpet's mute. Reverb-drenched flute settles and I count off seconds, this drifting composition, this expansion of language, building off ideas colliding with restraint in the way Duke Ellington taught us. Duke knew he'd never see Christmas in 1974. So he sent holiday cards right before Memorial Day to jazz luminaries, to friends, a last chance to say goodbye, a last chance to give thanks. Miles cried when he got his card. It closed the way Duke ended all of his shows, with a kiss blown from stage and the words, love you madly. Thank you.
Take it away, Joe.